give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue standing for a time of scripture reading today from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. This is the word of God. Let's put our hands together and invite Pastor Lee Kai for today's word.
Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father, may you prepare our hearts to receive your word. May you keep our heart tender as your word becomes the seed, be buried, and take root, and help us to act on it for what you have placed upon our heart. May you speak to us right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The theme for today's sermon is Man's Job, God's Job. Not sure, have you heard of this story? It's a Chinese parable called Yu Gong Yi San. I'm not sure how to translate that in English. A foolish man who tried to remove the mountain is too long. But as long as you read the Chinese word, you assume you can understand Yu Gong Yi San. A story was told that an old man, in the age of 90 years old, he lived in the North Mountain. So before his house, there's two huge mountains blocking the way. So every time when he wanted to go out, he had to make a detour around the mountain. So one day, this old man, Yu Gong, made a decision. He wanted to remove the mountain. So he picked up his shovel and basket and started to dig. Slowly he dig. Then the wise man saw him and laughed and said, "You foolish old man, how can you, being so old and weak, how is it possibly for you to remove two great mountains?" And Yu Gong, he replied, "You are right. If I can't remove this mountain, my son can remove this mountain. If my son can't remove, my grandchildren will keep digging. Generation after generation, they will keep working until one day the mountain will be removed." Have you heard of this story before?
No,
thank you. Never heard of this. Your Chinese is, did you pass your Chinese? Oh, GCE O level didn't study this story. Oh dear, I'm speaking to a foreign nation here. This Yu Gong Yi San is supposed to be a Chinese textbook story. You didn't learn this. My generation. Okay, thank you. Seems that we are not in the same generation. You're so young. I think this story talks about perseverance. It talks about if we refuse to give up, the mountain in our life can be removed. If you work hard enough, you can remove the mountain. But sometimes if you are honest, we think deep about it. Is it true that our mountain can be removed by our sheer effort and perseverance? Can you remove the mountain by your own effort and sheer perseverance? And sometimes the mountains can be our family members who are so far away from the Lord that they prayed so hard and you try all means, but they still stay so distant and nothing has changed over so many years. Sometimes the mountain can be apathy or people who don't care about Christ, who do not see the need of the Savior, and they're so contented living in their own comfort zone. Sometimes the mountains can be even ourselves. We can be empathy. We can be so inadequate. We can also be indifferent when we come to the gospel. Sometimes we just swing our shovels, we carry a basket, we work tirelessly, trying to remove the mountains. And many a times we feel foolish. And we look at the mountains, we look at our tiny shovel, and we think, just like the wise man said, is this possible? Why am I even trying? So if we take from another perspective to look at this whole parable, we take from the slant of a spiritual perspective to look from that. Look at that. The perseverance of Yu Gong is good, but I think the object of his faith is misplaced. The object of the faith is not by our own sheer effort. It's not about ourselves. But I think the object of faith is our trust in God's power, not in ours. I think this is the exact tension that Paul brings in using the scripture we just read. He addresses how we see God's work and how we see our work. So the verse we just read, a very short verse, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. I think first point, you talk about our job. What is our job? Our job is to faithfully plant and water. The verse is say that I planted, Apollos watered. God is very clear that He called each of us to plant. Each of us as a believers, we are supposed to plant the seed of gospel in others. We also not just plant, we're also supposed to water it by nurturing it, by discipling, making disciples of someone. We are familiar with this story, the parable of the sower. We talk about a sower who came by the field and just scattered the seeds around the field. He simply scattered the seed, not knowing where the seeds may land. Some seed fall on the path, some seed fall on the rocky ground, some seed just fall among thorns. Some seed fall on good soil. And we know that sometimes people who receive the gospel with very open heart, their heart is very much ready. But sometimes there are people who are so hardened, they're not willing to open their heart. And some are distracted by the worries of life. Our job is like the sower, to simply sow the seed in the field, not knowing where the seed will ultimately land on, and even not knowing how the heart will respond. But I think over this parable, I think one crucial thing that we have to remember, in the field of God's field, there's not only one sower. There are many sowers. And Paul make it clear in the verse we just read, he said that I planted, Apollo watered. He didn't say, I planted, I do everything. No, he mentioned Apollos in it also. So we know that evangelism and discipleship were meant to be a teamwork. It is a body ministry. It's not a lone ranger team. Because some of us here are planters. We sow a seed, we invite someone to a church, we invite someone to an event. And some of us are waterers. We sit by someone who is alone by himself. We just answer some of their questions. We send warm when it's such a rainy, cold weather. We just sit beside them to warm them up by showing love. The one who invites a newcomers to our church, the one who serves in coffee ministry, the one who just usher the newcomers, it is as important as the one who stands on the pulpit and preach. It is the same as important. It takes a whole village. It takes a whole village. Am I stuck here? Can you help me? Yeah. It takes a whole village empowered by the Holy Spirit to nurture a life, to build a life. And sometimes we may feel small by the role that we play, but in God's economy, there's nothing too small. No act like planting or watering the seed is ever wasted or insignificant. We are in the whole big picture of the grace of God's plan. We're in the whole big picture of God's grace. But sometimes we may not be able to see from this side of this heaven. I think when we ever hear everybody's testimony, there's always mentioning of number of people who have did something in their life that make them who they are today. I think likewise for myself, the very first time I heard the gospel, I was in the age of 9. My neighbor invited me to her church. We went twice, and after that, my dad disallowed us to go, and we stopped from there. But God did not stop. He's working in our life. At the age of 12, my P6 teacher brought me to National Stadium to attend a gospel rally. I may not understand too much about the whole thing, but that, in a way, continued to nurture the seed that was sowed in my heart at the age of 9. When I entered my secondary school, age of 13, I received Christ. I received Christ at the age of 30 in my secondary school, but I did not grow in my church. It was during my poly days when I was approached by a senior guy. He was probably 1 or 2 years older than me. He was from Campus Crusade for Christ. He came to me in a very nervously way to approach me because, you know, Campus Crusade, they have been very aggressive in doing evangelism daily in the campus. Of course, you're not experienced that probably. So they came to me. I think that was his duty that day, he approached me nervously. He didn't even look at me eye to eye. He just flipped through a small booklet called The Four Spiritual Laws and read through it with me. He was so nervous. I'm also nervous for him. He finished his job. Then he introduced me to Campus Crusade. And that was how I was being ushered to Campus Crusade. That was how I was grew and I was discipled. Along my many years of Christian journey, God used so many different people. And some of them simply invite me to an event, to a church. Some simply just pray for me. Someone just stopped me when I leave a place because I'm new, just stopped me along the door and talked to me. That warmed my heart. And some invested their time in me to nurture me. And some trained me in different settings. Each of these people that God used are not redundant. I think they play a significant role in my life to nurture me as who I am today. I think my neighbor never knew that her invitation was sow the gospel seed buried in my heart until today. My teacher who invited me to National Stadium never knew that watered that gospel seed and prepared my heart as I entered secondary school. The guy from Campus who said for Christ even fumbled in his gospel presentation, may not even know that what he's reading or quickly reading through the booklet may help me to give me the open doors to go to Campus Crusade where I grew. They just did their part faithfully, very small little part. And this reminds me of a story of a bell ringer. There's a man who lives in a village, a small village, whose job is very simple. He's supposed to ring the bell daily, every day, without fail. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a teacher. His job is to simply go to church at a certain time to ring the bell. So day after day, year after year, whether rain or sunshine, he just pulled the rope of the bell. The bell chime is so common, so normal that the whole village don't even take notice of it because it's such a routine in their life. But one day, a traveler from outside passed by the village and he heard the bell chimes. And the chimes in the way is so beautiful to him. It gives him the peace. It gives him the serenity. He's so specially drawn by the bell chimes. And he went to the church, stepped into the church and listened to the sermon and he heard about Jesus and received Jesus into his life. He left the church. Nobody knew him. And years later, he became a preacher, sharing the gospel to people he knew. For the bell ringer, he never knows about this man. He didn't even know that this man came to church because of he heard him ring the bell. He didn't even know that he made a decision that day. He didn't even know that he later became a preacher. I think this bell ringer never had a clue or the whole picture of the grace of God. He was just simply faithful, doing his small part that God has entrusted to him. I think this is our job. This is our job. We are not called to be the whole entire orchestra. We just probably, in the whole entire orchestra, we're just probably playing one instrument among the whole orchestra. We are called to be faithful, to ring our own bell that God has placed in our hand. For my neighbor, her bell was simply an invitation to her church. For my teacher, for my P6 teacher, her bell was probably simply to accompany to a gospel rally. For that nervous young man, his bell was probably just to take the courage, pick up the courage to approach a stranger in the campus. How about you? What is your bell that God wants you to ring faithfully? Probably a prayer when someone is sad. Probably it's just asking how are you doing when you sense someone in your class, they're feeling down and sad. Probably a listening ear. Probably buying a meal for a friend just to comfort him. So planting and watering is not about presenting the gospel in a very creative way. It's not just about that. I think it's simply being faithful to ring the bell that God has placed in our life. So our job here is not to move mountain, but our job is to be faithful, to pick up the shovel and the basket, to continue to dig, to plant, and to water. Let's see. That's our job. And let's see what is God's job. God's job is to move mountain and to bring growth. In the verse, it says that I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. There's a word, but. To know the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we know that the people during that time in the church of Corinthians, they start to form their own clique. How do they form their own clique? Because they like certain preacher, and they don't like a certain preacher. They like Pastor Allen, he's handsome. They don't like Pastor Lee Kai, he's too short. They all form their own clique. And this is called Pastor Allen fans. This is called Pastor, I don't have fans. And so the other people form their own fans. And that's how people say, I belong to, that's why they say, I belong to what? Verse 4, it says, I follow Paul. And another say, I follow Apollos. And another say, I follow Pastor Allen. So each of them had their own clique. They favor certain preachers, certain pastors, certain leaders. And that's the context when Paul wrote this. And in that, Paul corrected them the following verse. Verse 5, Paul said, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? They are only servants. So in Paul, he said, so what? Those who follow Paul, so what? So those who follow Pastor Allen, so what? So what about following about them? And then came verse 6. In the whole context, Paul used the imagery of farming to tell us that I planted the seed, Apollos watered. There's the word but, and this but is crucial because it is a turning point, it is a comparison, a point of comparison. How do you know that? Let's say someone comes to you. Mark, you are tall and handsome, but I'm taller and more handsome than you. You see, the statement but make a changing point. If something tells you something good, place something good in front, but the more important thing is behind. It gives you, I'm going to tell you good thing in the front first, but later I'm going to tell you the more important. This is a crucial takeaway home thing at the end. So when you heard someone telling you but, you know this is a crucial thing he wants to tell you. And that's the point of Paul over here. You see, Paul had planted. Wow, that's great. He planted church. And Apollo have watered it. You know, Apollo is an eloquent speaker. He spoke well. But I think that's the point of Paul's whole sermon here. But the more important thing, it's not about human talents. It's not about how gifted you are. It's not about how handsome or how well you are. It is about God. And sometimes because we simply exalt human giftedness, exalt human leadership, or exalt human whatever thing, that we miss out the main point. It is about God. It is God who brings growth, who brings the change of man. It's not about these people. And that's how the Church of Corinthians, in a way, they fall into this temptation to exalt men, to boast their favorite preacher, and Paul used the word, but, to dismantle their pride and bring them back to focus on God. Only God is the one who causes growth, no matter how eloquent or how strong the leadership of a person is. You see, God's job is to give growth, but what is our problem? Many a time, our temptation is to we snatch away the job of God. We try to believe that we are doing the job of God. We believe in the lie that I'm responsible for the results. And that's why we are easily discouraged when we do not see results. And we work hard and we don't see results, we feel that probably we need to learn the right techniques. We maybe have to say the right word, do the magic thing to get the apologetic argument there. Then I can produce faith. And how do we see that in our life? Is that when we don't share, when we say such thing in our mind, if I share the gospel, well, maybe he can come to know Christ. If I'm gifted as an evangelism person, I'll able to see fruits. That's how people believe in their mind subconsciously. And it plays the burden in my skill, in my eloquencies, in my methodology. It ultimately became my job. So if a person received Christ, it became a pride because of my eloquency, of my persuasive words. It became a guilt when the person say no to us. This is one extreme that we can fall. But the other extreme is, while we are free from results. We are not called to be pessimistic. We are not called to be passive without any expectation, any expectant hope when we labor. When we sow a seed, we do expect something. It should be the expectation when we sow a seed. Let's read Isaiah 55 together. 1, 2, 3. Do you believe the word from God's mouth that came out probably through your mouth? It will accomplish what God desires. Probably the purpose is to soften the person's heart. And probably sometimes the purpose is to harden his heart, like the Pharaohs going through the 10 plagues. And probably sometimes it may bring immediate salvation. And sometimes it lays the groundwork for the harvest years later. And we may not see the result immediately, but we can be sure that our effort is never wasted. Let's read this together. 1 Corinthians 1, 2, 3. We know that as Paul wrote this, stand firm, let nothing move you, is because they will move. They are not standing firm. All along their journey, they are discouraged, they are disheartened because of the persecution, because of the ground has been so hard. And that's why Paul keeps saying, your labor is never in vain. And our temptation is always when we are discouraged, we just give up too early, too easily. We are called to be faithful. We are not supposed to bear the result. The next part of 1 Corinthians, you say that, but God has been making it grow. The tense here is an imperfect tense, which convey a continuous, ongoing action in the past. What has God started in the past, it will just continue on and on. And Paul is stressing over here, it is not just a one-time event. You see, Paul, church planting is only one-time event. Apollo's preaching, watering, is probably a series of period. Probably it took a while for him to preach, to shepherd the church. But over here is a comparison that God's work is continuously. It's not just a one-time event, it's a continuous event, a process. So we can see the comparison between what Paul and Apollo did. They are limited with one time or a certain period of time. But God's ongoing process is a whole life process is never ending. Let's read this verse together. 1, 2, 3. Sometimes we may plant a seed. We just do not know how, what happened, and how long will it take for the seed to sprout, take root, and suddenly grow. It just seems an overnight thing. You just never notice it. It's just a mystery. It just grows by itself. We never know how. And that's how the work of God is. If you recall last Sunday, I'm not sure, are you here last Sunday? We have a combined service. One of our, this Boon Keng's residents, his daughter, called Chloe, I think so. Mr. Chan's daughter, Chloe, and his younger brother came on the stage to share a testimony of how they have, in a way, witnessed their dad came to know Christ. They have tried all means. They share the gospel, to share the gospel to the parents. They stream Chinese worship song. They stream Chinese videos. Testimony from friends, and they're learning all kind of evangelism tools to reach out to their parents. And they did that for 16 years. 16 years. And yet their parents remain unmoved. They show no interest in Jesus. Do you know how discouraged you are? You keep doing that 16 years. And how despair you are when they do not respond. So she's mentioned, what else can we do other than prayer? Do you know 3 years later, what happened? There's a man who visited them regularly. And when I talked to Mr. Chan said, Xiao Li. Do you know who is this Xiao Li? Yeah, thanks for letting the cat out. Yeah, I didn't know this Xiao Li. Who is this Xiao Li? I thought it's Bao Cai, because Bao Cai sing Li. I know their DG visit Boon Keng Road. So I asked Bao Cai, is it you who visited Mr. Chan? He mentioned this Xiao Li. Then Bao Cai told me it's Ma Si. Then I know Ma Si, his surname is Li Ma Si. It's not Ma Si. I thought it's Ma. So sorry for Singer. I thought your surname is always Ma. Ma Singer. It's Li. I didn't know your surname is Li. Ma Si had been visiting him for quite a while to repair the water pipe. And one day, Ma Si invited him to Agape Church for Christmas event. He came. And later, the children, whenever there's a Gospel Sunday, the children will bring their father to our Gospel Sunday. So whenever I see Mr. Chan, after the service, I ask him, hey, did you make a decision to receive Christ today? He just smiled. His typical smile, like JK smile. Very typically, just smile like that. Not answering you, but giving you the kind of smile. We do not know when did he want or be ready to receive Christ. Then, the daughter Chloe shared. Suddenly one day, the father told the daughter, I want to be baptized. I want to remove the altars. It's not easy to remove altars. You've been worshipping all the whole life. The daughter got so shocked. You thought the father's joking with her. She just don't know why. What caused the change? How come the change is so sudden? Suddenly change. She was so amazed. You see, the word of God sometimes amazes us and so humbles us. God worked miraculously. God works miraculously and in the dark also. We do not know how and do not. That's how God's working. That's why I like the song, The Waymaker. You all sang the song before. You say that even when I don't see it, you are working. Even when I don't feel it, you are working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. And this is a God that we worship. A God who never stop working, even sometimes when he fails. Sometimes when we give up, God never stopped working. Would you persevere on to pray, to continue to plant the seed, to water them, trusting God to work even when you don't see, when you don't see it? I think at the end, we're going to end with this story. We talk about farming, we talk about planting seed. This farmer had planted the seed on Monday. He don't dig out the seed and take a look on Wednesday. He just entrusts the seed to the ground. That the nature will take its course. The nature will grow the seed. He just trusts the whole process. Because we know that growth sometimes is happening when it is unseen. Growth sometimes is happening, is underneath, is underground, is buried under the ground. Growth sometimes takes place in the dark when no one can see. God, in a way, he often works in a vital way in our hearts during the dark season when sometimes we don't see and we don't feel. But we trust he never stopped working. He never stopped working. I think the bell ringer never knew the impact of his faithfulness. And you never know the impact of yours also. The conversation you had probably 10 years ago with someone, but that person probably remembered that. The prayer you pray for that someone, the act of kindness, someone probably still remember the little act of kindness you did. And because God is working, God has been watering all this time. Your job was to plant and water, and God's job is to grow. Daddy, at the closure of it, I think we are not called to be like Yu Gong, the parable of the foolish man, striving alone by yourself to the end of your days. We are called to be faithful planters and waterers. Your job is to dig. But we dig with unwavering faith, knowing that the moving of the mountain is God's job, it's not ours. So we want to come before the Lord right now. I invite you right now to come before the Lord in prayer. Let's bow our head before the Lord and spend a moment of silence. What is the one mountain? What is the one mountain you have been straining against? What is the burden that God has placed upon your heart of someone's salvation that you've been laboring, you've been praying for? What is the situation that you've been trying to fix? Let this mountain be brought before the Lord. I want you to do two things with this mountain. First of all, pick up your shovel and ask God, God, what is one thing that you want me to do with my shovel? I think God do not want us to give up. It's still too early to give up. God wants you to pick up your shovel to face this gigantic mountain before you. What is one seed God wants you to plant in someone's life? The seed of good gesture, the seed of love, the seed of prayer. God does not just want you to plant the seed, He wants you to water the seed. You have to water the seed with prayer. Probably sending a text of encouragement. Probably buying a meal to that person and listen to his story. And probably even invite him to the coming Alpha this October. Don't labor this alone by yourself. God call us as a team, as a whole body. Let your DGs know your friend or your parents or your grandparents. Let the church visit probably your parents. Probably have not yet know the Lord. If the Lord have placed a burden upon your heart, what you can do with your shovel, respond to Him. Do not quench the work of the Holy Spirit. Do it. Be faithful to the little thing God entrusted to you. Secondly, I want you to entrust your mountain to God. You can tell God, God, I've done my part of planting the seed and watering the seed. Let me know what else you want me to do. For this mountain, for his hardened heart to change, Lord, this is your work. I will release this to you. I trust you to move it, to remove this mountain according to your time and according to your way. I have a job to do. God has a job to do too. But will you do yours and trust Him to do His?